You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Certainly is that time of the week. Andrew Little joined me again this week for our regular chat, and we discussed the Criminal Cases Review Commission, which Bill here, I think he's just introduced, and will be read when Parliament resumes, or whenever it resumes, I don't know. And the appointment of a new Chief Human Rights Commissioner. That's all very exciting, and here's Andrew talking about it. So you've introduced a bill that will create the Criminal Cases Review Commission. What powers will the commission have?
Well, basically what the Ministry of Justice currently does when they investigate an application for the use of the Royal Prerogative of Mercy. So there are investigative powers. There will be powers to get information that might otherwise be withheld, and to look at all relevant information in a case that has led to an allegation of a miscarriage of justice. So there'll be, and the idea is that you get as much information as you can with agreement and by consent, but there will be some backstop powers that enable the commission to get whatever information they need.
And the bill also sets out the test that the case must meet to be referred to the Court of Appeal by the commission. What is this?
So there's an overarching interest of justice test, but there's also an aspect of it is also looking at prospects of success. So the complete, you know, a case which on an initial assessment has no prospects of success, we're not going to devote a lot of resources to investigate it, so there has to be something there to have a look at. And then in terms of referral to the Court of Appeal, once there's been a thorough investigation, the judgment has to be based on what would best serve the interests of justice. If there's enough doubt about the safety of a conviction, then it'll be referred back to the Court of Appeal.
And will anybody be able to refer a case to the Commission, or do they decide what they investigate? How will this work?
Well, anybody can apply to the Commission if they think they've been the victim of a miscarriage of justice, or they think the sentencing was too harsh, and then there'll be a triaging process that the Commission will set up. This is what happens with the commissions that are in Scotland and England. And then once it's passed the triaging process, if a decision is made, yep, we're going to investigate this, knowing that that's a resource-intensive exercise, then the investigation will happen and a judgment will be made about following that, whether to refer back to the Court of Appeal or whether to say there's not enough here to say that there's been a miscarriage of justice.
And do you expect they'll sort of be inundated with requests once the commission is set up?
If the experience in England and Scotland is anything to go by, there will be a surge of interest at the beginning. I think Scotland said they had literally hundreds of applications in their first year or so, but then it tapered off to a more reasonable sort of number. So yeah, I think there will be, but it'll plateau out eventually to a more reasonable number each year.
And you've talked about the importance of the Commission having enough resources. How much will they get?
Well, that's yet to be negotiated through the budget process, but I'm anticipating that it'll be something comparable to the Independent Best Conduct Authority. So their budget is just under $4 million a year. I think they've got roughly 15 staff. They're doing a lot of cases, and a lot of them get triaged out pretty early on. Plus, also, they have the benefit of referring a whole category of cases to the police to investigate themselves. They just provide oversight. Any investigations done by the Commission will be carried out by staff of the Commission because it has to be independent. But the volume of cases will be much less than you'd expect at the Independent Police Conduct Authority.
And does this have cross-party support? Will the Commission survive a national government?
Look, we'll see. I mean, the national government they didn't show a great deal of keenness in having a commission when they were in government. But I don't think that's necessarily because they were deeply opposed to it. They thought that the system was working okay, there were enough appeals and checks and balances and that. So the first reading of the bill won't be until Parliament resumes, and I guess we'll see then whether or not they are prepared to support it.
And you've also said you must ensure the Commission is independent. How tricky will this be? Because I'd imagine political pressure in some cases will be applied. How are you going to ensure their independence?
I think the scope for political pressure is pretty remote, is pretty small. They'll be independent because it is a commission. There'll be commissioners, and they'll come from a variety of backgrounds, including legal backgrounds. possibly a judge involved there, even though it is effectively reviewing the work of the courts. But I think the prospects for political interference will be very, very small indeed. And I think in the end, I think it's a question of the administration itself to keep itself free from that type of political pressure.
And moving on, you've appointed a new Chief Human Rights Commissioner, Paul Hunt. Can you talk about this a bit?
Yeah, so this follows the changes earlier this year with the commissioners. Paul Hunt, pardon me, comes from a very strong human rights background, advocacy background, as well as working in the UN and the World Health Organization. He's been an academic here in New Zealand at Waikato University, as well as at Essex University, where he is at the moment. So I think brings some very, very strong credentials and the type of, leadership that the Commission needs right now as it sort of recasts itself, strengthens itself internally and sort of gets back on track.
And do you expect him to be successful in tackling the problems with the Commission that existed under the previous Chief Human Rights Commissioner?
Yeah, I think, there'll be, there's another new Commission, the Equal Employment Opportunities Commissioner, Dr. Simeo. She'll join him. In fact, she will start before Professor Paul Hunt, and then there's a third appointment due in the next couple of months as well, and then you've got Dr. Paula Tesserio. So the full team will be in place by the beginning of next year, and it's an opportunity, I think, for that group of commissioners to start afresh and to start rebuilding the culture of the Human Rights Commission.
Because one of the problems with the commission was the lack of communication between the different commissioners. Do you think this requires structural change?
No, I don't. I think it just requires, them to do what you'd expect commissioners to do in an organisation like that, and that is keep in touch with each other. I think there is an issue, though, about having, in this case, four commissioners also being effectively the board of directors or the governance of the entity. I think there does need to be some independence there, so I'll be looking at, in the next year or two, looking at a change in makeup so that there are at least a couple of people who sit on the board of the Human Rights Commission who aren't involved all day, every day in the operations of the Commission as well.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.